If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Show on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to the rightstuff.biz/paywall. And follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
My little lapel thing is like too small. I mean,
can't see it. I can see
it. Sucks. Well, I'm just gonna like my goal is to just wear it around in public as much as I can.
I should get one of those.
I got one of those flags that attaches to your window.
Yeah.
On the car. Then I realized I have those weather guards. So I can't put. I got to figure something out. Anyway, welcome to the Daily Show 11:02.
Good evening, godless sodomite.
Thank you, Tony. I haven't transferred that to the PC yet.
What is that from?
I don't know who this is. Should I know who that is?
No, I feel like I've seen that guy before, but I can't place it.
I don't know. Tony DM'd that to me. He's like, I think you're gonna need this
for the show.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good one. We should edit that in at some point. Just get it into the drop machine somehow. I feel
personally attacked by the godless part though. It's like it's not my fault that society has trivialized religion to the point where it's just like a fucking hobby.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because a lot of the sodomites are actually, well, let's press forward.
Well,
they're actually working in the churches, but they're still godless.
I just don't think it's my fault that I'm godless.
Like
the Jews destroyed our God, and then.
Well, additionally,
I want to be a pagan, but I don't even know what any of that means.
Yeah, all that's left it can't help but be alarmed. But then, like, even the Christian aspect of it, like the way that Christianity was basically, like, a lot of it, it was like paganism was coming forward through Christianity because, like, all the idea of saints and this and that, it's all sort of paganistic stuff, right? Like, where like these are like instead of these gods or spirits that are like manifestations of elements of the natural world or concepts. They came through in the idea of worshiping saints and praying to saints. Like, so that was sort of like, and a lot of Protestants have this critique of Catholicism that like, and I guess Orthodoxy has saints as well, that like your worshiping of these figures other than Jesus, other than God is paganism.
I could not be less interested in that, in these critiques and dialogue. It's just like,
I know. My thing is like, this is the problem is because that kind of, philosophizing and theologizing. One, theology is just, frankly, it's just made up stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of theologizing about it is purely like, it is really like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And it's also like what's really happening is like people's organic traditions are just coming forward through this new form.
Traditions are like 80s, 90s consumerism.
Right.
They're all born of that, and like I feel sad when they're like it happened again. So remember
about to make another important point.
Oh, go ahead, make your important
point. Well, my other point was like many people say like, well, look at the marvels of Western art and architecture.
Like Marvel comics?
No, that's actually something that came through Jews. That's how Jews reduced the actual marvels of Western art to this. Fucking these comic book characters and stupid lurid people in tights and shit.
Yeah,
but when you look at the actual Western art and architecture, these genius works, They're all like, well, this came through the church. I'm like, well, if you go back 500 years before the church, you see these things still being created. Like the Parthenon was created 500 years before Christ. And it was like an architecturally completely symmetrical, like perfect building with like all the different statues and stuff. And the idea of the weight shift and the realistic way that people would stand and stuff, that was all invented by Greeks. Romans invented the arch. In order as like a way to create like these stable, magnificent structures and domes and all this shit. So all of these things came before the church, and then they were manifested by the church to create even more architectural wonders around the world. And so it's the genius of the European right. people that created yeah. these things. Yep. It's not, you know, so the church is just one manifestation of it. However, of course, we have yesterday the Jews bombing like one of the oldest Orthodox churches in the world. They my understanding is destroy the whole thing.
That was fake.
They destroyed part. That was not fake.
You can't believe this.
But of course, because they're like, the Palestinians exaggerated the number of people that died. First of all, I don't even know if that's true. But why is that what you're saying? Right? Like, why is that your claim? Like, why is that the response?
Because pig Americans.
Yeah, and that's the thing. My thing is, like, I don't think that the bombing of like an 1,100-year-old church with, like, if you look at the inside of that church, you see, like, these works of art that are, like, over 1,000 years old. You're never going to see them again, and you're just supposed to not care about that. And you're just supposed to be like, well, the Palestinians said, like, 5 more people died than actually died. First of all, you don't know that. Secondly, remember, I don't give a shit. Why is that how this is being reported? Why is that how this is being reported? Every fucking Christian Zionist, you should kill yourself. You literally should, because you are an abomination to Christ.
Wow.
No, if you're a Christian Zionist, you are worshiping Satan. You are literally worshiping Satan if you're a Christian Zionist. In fact, Satan is even embarrassed by the Jews. Even he's like, listen, I don't want to be associated with these people. This is too much for me. So, yeah. If you are a Christian Zionist, you literally worship Satan. Get that through your head. It's true. I mean, was this too intense or too?
No, it's just like there's a whole bunch of things that I've been advised that I don't need to say.
About and that's one
on
of
this
them?
Subject. What? No, the things that you're not hearing the things that I'm not saying.
Okay, all right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I know what you mean. Oh, advised by me.
No, just in general.
Okay. I thought, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. There's a lot of things that people would like to say.
I dream of being free of all this desert mysticism. I don't care whose it is.
I understand what you're saying. You're going full anti-Abrahamic guy?
Uh-huh. Okay. Absolutely.
I get it. I understand that tendency, yeah. I understand that tendency. For me, though, I'm legitimately an agnostic. So my thing is, like, except for when it comes to Judaism, which is just pure evil. So, yeah, I'm willing to accept that other people will have various religions, and it's, like, not a big deal for me.
Well, it's not a big deal.
But Jews, that's a big deal. Because that's just, like, a world-destroying genocide cult. And they need to just be stopped at any cost.
Well, I see.
What?
Never mind.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm suppressing my urge to say something that is absolutely 100% true, but would just make friends of ours mad.
Well, we don't need to make friends of ours.
I know.
What is that?
I'm assuming he'll have to just tell us later.
I'm avoiding
making
friends
of ours mad.
I'd
really rather
not
make friends of ours
mad. Fuck it, I'm just going to do it. I mean, I see, like, people that are, like, holding up like Islam now as this one. You remind me of people that started listening to Kanye West records after he spoke out against the Jews on Twitter.
Okay, I get that.
I see people that are doing that. And I'm just kind of like, really? I'm like, this is just another brand of the desert mysticism that we need to get away from.
Well, like, stop, we don't like, need to
like,
be
it's great
Muslim.
That it's great that it inspires these people to like do the fight that like the white West has no fucking stomach for, apparently, because we're all just like, yay, we're Jew slaves and we love it. But, I'm not going to start like praising Muhammad.
I think a lot of that stuff is people that just get excited when they see somebody fighting.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, Allah. Like, but it's kind of
disappointing because it makes I don't know. It gives ammo to like detractors as usual. And this whole subject is so fraught because like being a detractor on this is literally just like Jewish FUD and people, and it's like handing them stuff like,
oh, see? Yeah, I see what you mean. So there's people that like go too far and they're like start way like too way too hard praising this. But my thing is that like I can't forgive that because I understand why they get so excited. I don't think anyone's like actually going to convert to fucking like, Islam like, in our think, in like, our quarters. It's just they're like, but here's the
like,
other
you're
thing.
Never hear, you're never gonna hear me tell the story of I walked into a convenience store and bonded with the clerk over hating Israel. I still walk in the convenience store and be like, you know, it really sucks that you're here.
Yeah. Well,
like you're not like, why aren't you over there piloting a paraglider? Instead, like you're my only option to like get a quart of oil,
right?
And
right.
Some fucking windshield.
Yeah,
cleaner.
That's my thing too. Is, well, first of all,
I'm never gonna walk into that and be like, "Have you seen what's happening?"
I used to do that a lot, actually, I never did it. I would do it when I lived in New York City to cab drivers and stuff, but it was mainly just for like shits and giggles. But I would say though
that's not the tick that annoys. The tick that I find really irritating that people do is whenever they look at Arabs and like, why aren't you fighting them right now? Why aren't you rising up? Why aren't you out there dealing with the Jew thing? You know, the Gazans are under siege. What are you doing sitting on your hands? It's like, you don't live in the Middle East. You're not an Arab. You don't understand what it's like being over there. You don't have to deal day to day with a fucking Israeli literally shooting you in the head as a consequence.
I can actually understand all of these takes. Because there's a lot of people who have been told, like, there's this whole building.
I understand them.
There's this whole building. Well, again.
I just don't like them.
Well, again, look, we have to.
I know.
My thing is, like, I always try to at least understand where somebody's coming from. At least once I've located them on the friend side of the friend-enemy divide, even if they're doing something silly or cringe, I'll be like, all right, listen, why are you doing this, and can we maybe calm this down or whatever, right? But, I get why people are impatient for these Arab states and like Hezbollah and Iran to go and destroy Israel. I do.
There's a meme like, we need a meme for Muhammad. Like, but he made graduation.
Right. So the thing is, though,
I don't know what the equivalent of that would be.
You have to understand that they're, again, and even if they don't, the thing is, and another reason why people get frustrated about this is because they're like, they're seeing like right now is this opportunity for them to do it and possibly win. Now, their calculation is different, but they are again. My opinion is if you're
the person making that argument should not be a person living in the West hiding behind an anonymous internet account. That's a bad look.
Yes, but really it's also look. Like I can understand somebody saying like, I hope that Hezbollah actually attacks Israel because that will be like strategically very bad for Israel. So somebody's sitting there
that's
saying
what I say.
That.
I'm like,
and the thing is that it's like for those of you that feel that way, essentially Hezbollah has been doing an escalating operation there on their border with Israel, and they've actually been doing the type of thing that you would do if you were eventually planning on doing more, like taking out listening posts and taking out satellite dishes, listening posts, observation posts. Like they're basically blinding the Israelis' surveillance of their border. So when you do stuff like that, that means like you're doing shaping operations where they probably will. I don't see any way, frankly, for those of you that are eager for this, I don't see any way for them to back out of their claim that if there is a war in Gaza, they will actually attack. I do think that this threat, this fact that this is a realistic threat, that this is a threat that is taken seriously by the Jews, is another reason for their hesitation about going into the Gaza Strip. They are going to go into the Gaza Strip. This is pretty much confirmed. However, the Israeli army is not magic. They have logistical problems. They're having problems with their reservists who are not actually combat ready. They're having problems with equipment. Much of it was actually destroyed. They actually had to wait for another shipment of fucking armored vehicles and tanks from America. They are having problems that they have three fronts. They have to deal with the uprising in the West Bank. They have to deal with Lebanon.
Yep.
They have to deal with Gaza. They don't have a big enough army to fight on all these fronts. They have to worry about now that Iraqi militias are crossing through Syria into Lebanon and building up their forces there. They have to deal with that the Yemenis in Yemen, the Houthis, are starting to fire missiles in the direction of Israel, which were a bunch of missiles shot from Yemen at Israel, were shot down by U.S. military in the Red Sea, in the Gulf yesterday. So there's a lot of shit that they have to worry about. And so Israel really is, and this is why America is sending this unprecedented level of military aid. Now, if this conflict escalates, it will be really bad for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The thing I say, though, is the worst thing to happen would be for it to escalate and for the Israeli side, the Jew side, to win. So on some level, I'm like, you know, if they don't, you know, but again, on some level, yes, people will die. But can we live? Can the entire world continue to live as a hostage to this insane genocidal Jewish element? And it's not just the state of Israel. It's the Jewish element everywhere.
Yep.
Like, at some point, we have to figure out a way to shake this off. That's what Intifada means. It means shake it off. We have to shake the scorpion off the back of the entire...
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
World.
Isn't that Tay Tay's new song? Shake It Off?
I don't know. Maybe she's secretly supporting Palestine. So we have to figure out how to do this. And you know, I do feel like at some point, you know,
Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
You know, this war, this also can't be, this can't happen without a lot of people.
Allahu Akbar!
Yeah.
Oh shit. You're supposed to play.
I mean, the Jews are
just say shake it off.
Whatever. I can't.
Yeah, it's old.
I just wanted her to say.
Say the line, Bart.
Just wanted her to say shake it off.
Yeah, shake it off.
Anyway, so yeah, like, I get why people are like that. I understand all of it. I understand all of these tendencies that I see. I'm not particularly critical of any of it. Like, I get why somebody would like yell. Like, the other thing I would say, though, Islam, just like I would say Christianity and stuff like that, comes, like, the European spirit comes through that. Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, sometimes on some level, these Arabs, these Middle Easterners, like, Islam's just a manifestation of their racial genius, if you will. Like, they're just like this. They're just like this. One of the things that's remarkable, and one of the things that's happened that has left the United States a little bit flat-footed, is that these people, these Muslim people, these people who adopted Islam as their religion, these tribal people in the Middle East and Central Asia, are just willing to take fucking, they're just willing to die.
Yeah.
And you know, and as a result, like, when they go up against, like, Western soldiers, like American troops, like, they don't want to die.
Right.
And they don't want to die because they don't even understand what they're fighting for. But every single one of these Arabs and Muslims understands what they're fighting for and is heavily motivated and willing to die. And even with technological inferiority, with increasing methods of asymmetrical warfare by these people, which have gotten better, it's not just like the same shit that it was like 20 years ago. It's a serious threat now. You know, like, the fact that Hezbollah is like 40,000 like active soldiers. But they've got a lot of gear. They got a lot of missiles. It's not quite what Israel has. But every single one of them will die. They will. Every single one of them will die. They're willing to die fighting Israel. And the Jews don't want to die. In 2014, the Jews invaded the Gaza Strip. And after about 6 weeks of fighting, they had lost 67 troops and they ran away. They lost 67 troops and 1,000 injured. And they ran. They didn't complete any objectives. In that, they just said, we completed our objective, and they left. And the reason was because they couldn't take any more casualties. And they are going to face, if they go into the Gaza Strip this time, they are going to face thousands and thousands of their men dying. And it's possible that they're angry enough over what just happened that they're willing to do that. But I don't think they're really willing to do it. I think this is why they are desperate for America to come in. If they could, they would have America invade the Gaza Strip for them. But that's just politically untenable.
Aren't they essentially doing that? Because our special forces are going over there.
Our special forces are going to lead the Jews into Gaza. And they're never going to admit it.
I hope every one of you dies.
They probably will die. And they're never. It's never going to be admitted
I hope I hope the state has a bunch of American flags and pine boxes ready for you.
Well, they're not going to. They're never going to admit it because no one knows who these people are. And when they die, it's not going to be announced.
I hope every one of your wives is a good, like, fucking reliable Jody to take care of them while you're off.
Oh, I'm sure
dying
they do. I'm
Israel.
Sure there's all kinds of Jody boys helping out your wives while you're gone there fighting for the
Jews.
Makes
me fucking sick.
So, yeah, but they got 2,000, some kind of 2,000 elite forces there. The thing is, like, Stryker's article today was very good. And I think it should, here's something I've noticed about all these detractors, right? All of these detractors that come at us for our analysis make all kinds of different claims. But there's one thing that they never do. I know. There's one thing that they never do. They never actually honestly engage with our position on this, right? They don't actually honestly engage with our position. So if you're going to honestly engage with our position and refute it, like, I don't want to hear anything like you guys just love Muslims or you guys are just third worldists or you just love brown people or suddenly you love brown people and they're fighting Jews. First of all, why shouldn't I? But second of all, read the article. Read the article on the National Justice Party website today. When you can honestly engage with those points and honestly refute them.
No, Stryker wheelchair.
I will pay attention to your point. Stryker wheelchair was something made up as a
Stryker
joke.
Wheelchair. You can go real. You coping. Can't read articles.
Even
Stryker
if he is in a wheelchair, he
Stryker
still made wheelchair. A better argument than you did. Like, that's a joke we made up. You can't use our own internal ironic jokes against us. But additionally, again, this is all I have to say because I've never yet seen anybody engage honestly.
Because to engage honestly is to shout death to Israel.
Right.
And death to America.
You know, this guy...
Everything else is a Jewish Zionist cope. Everything else is begging whoever's watching to stay a Zionist.
Well, you remember that thing, Nomos Events, that we were calling Homos Events? Remember that thing? It's like run by a tranny. They're doing like gatherings during COVID and stuff. And they're like,
I don't remember that at all. No.
Anyway, this thing called Nomos Events that was saying on Twitter that, like, I hate the third worldism people. And I'm like, I hate the women's clothing that people slip into. They hate the third worldism that people slip into on this issue.
I hate the, like, third worldism that America slips into.
But I'm like, I hate the fact that you slip into women's clothing.
You, like, keep slipping third worlders over the border and taking over, like.
Well, that was another, that was point three in this article of four ways that the West would benefit from the destruction of Israel. Point three is we wouldn't have a refugee crisis anymore. Because every single war, because if you think that siding with Israel means, like, no more refugees, that's objectively being proven wrong in real time. Because
no one actually thinks that. People are paid to say that.
People are paid to literally never pay attention to that point. That is the devastating point that they cannot defeat. It is impossible to defeat. And they have managed, every single detractor on this issue has managed to avoid the point that I made 3 years ago that was reiterated in the article that came out today and that we have been making for all these years, that every war started by Israel, going back through my fucking entire life, has led to more refugees flooding into the West. And it can be proven this is a deliberate Israeli strategy. Additionally, they were even talking about if they could get this border between Gaza and Egypt open, and if they could scare all the Palestinians to run for their lives, because if they don't leave, they're going to be slaughtered by Israeli bombs. The discussion was they don't have to stay in Egypt. We'll figure out a way to get them into Europe. This was on the table, being discussed at the highest levels by Joe Brandon and Joe Brandon's fucking handlers, the Egyptian government, and presumably the European governments don't have a say, where if they're instructed by their masters, you're just opening your borders to 100 million, to a million Palestinians. You're just going to do that. Okay, Europe, you're just going to do that. Here's a million Palestinians. They're yours now. And that's what they're going to do. So I remember there was a point going around where they're like, look, if Palestinians in Europe, like, a lot of them join gangs, become criminals. I mean, I'm sure that's true. So another reason for you to want Israel defeated and for these people to stay in their homeland. Like, what? Again, there's no way that you can discuss this issue.
It's because they're lying. They want those guys there. They want them doing their crimes because they want these fighting age, young.
That's what the Jews want. Absolutely.
No, but I mean, that's what the detractors want too, because they're on. They're just on that team. Right. There's no convincing. Like,
because
you want Muhammad nigger face in Sweden raping and stabbing people. Like,
status
that's what,
quo.
That is what they want.
Like, status quo.
I feel silly. Like, there's no. Israel. There's no reason to acknowledge the.
I know.
It's just.
But
Zionists.
I want our audience to know all the arguments, because I want our audience, when they come across this stuff, to understand that you are listening to people who
You're
are effectively Zionists. Or Zionist
they
proxies.
Are, they're not effectively, they are Zionist right. proxies. There right. is no other reason to engage angrily in this in the kind of points that are being made by someone who seems to right. have, people that have separated anti-Semitism from pro-whiteness as two separate concepts, they are Zionist shills. They are telling you not to hate Jews. If you can't tell, if you do not have in your mind the two concepts linked, like anti-Semitism is pro-whiteness, pro-whiteness is anti-Semitism, they are inseparable. If you think you're pro-white but you're not anti-Semitic, you're just anti-white. You are just pro-Semitic. Like, I'm sorry, the two concepts cannot be separated in any way, shape, or form for any other purpose. If someone is trying to do that, it's because they're trying to run cover for Jews and keep it in your mind that you like them or you get something out of it.
It's Jews that prevent you from separating the two concepts.
Yes.
Whoa. Now my mind is blown and I.
Yes.
And I have to rethink everything I've ever thought. I'm like, no, Jews don't, no. I am tired of wild, outrageous.
Well, Jews are masters of FUD.
I'm tired of wild, outrageous claims as to what Jewish power, the Jewish question means. It does not mean that.
Wait, what does it mean? What did I mean? I was looking at something. I'm sorry.
Alex just said that the idea that I can't separate any Semitism from pro-whiteism as two separate concepts, it's Jews that make me do that. It's like, no.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, did I misunderstand you?
I'm saying that it's Jews that are preventing you from separating the two, and the only solution for that as well.
I guess I'm just.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were speaking in the voice of a detractor.
If you get Jews out of the conversation, then you could potentially have just your pro.
This is what Jews in the conversation are what fucks everything up. It doesn't really even matter what the discussion is.
You'd have to get the Jews out of the conversation. That's probably going to take.
We have to get them out of the conversation.
Remember, I'm willing to discuss anything with anybody. But when the Jews enter the conversation, I say no.
You ask about Zionism in Israel.
Yeah,
that's,
say
that's
no.
What's good about Zionism in Israel. Being pro-white, because they're going to insert themselves in the conversation until you make them stop.
Why are Jews involved in the in our conversation?
Because they are anti-whiteness.
Like, Jews don't get a seat at the table. Let's start about the table and what's on it, or who's around it.
If you want anti-whiteness as a physical entity, it is a Jew.
Yeah.
It is, is anti-whiteness manifest as a person.
Like,
it's
this
a Jew.
This is why I actually say the priority is getting Jews out of the conversation, and then people can actually default to a natural relationship. This is sort of the crux of what Stryker was talking about. Getting Jews out of this relationship with everybody, the West and the Muslim world can default to what our natural relationship should be. Which our natural relationship to the Muslim world is not white people converting to Islam. It's not white people adopting Islam. It's not white people kneeling when the call to prayer comes out of the minaret. It is, however, white people not really giving a shit when Muslims do that in their own country and being like, hey, you guys seem to have a lot of oil over there. We've got a lot of money and we got a lot of industrial capacity. Let's make a deal. That's the natural relationship between the white West and the Muslim Arab Middle East. It is like, we have our, you know, fedoras and Christians over here. You've got your Muslims and maybe some like small section of fedora over there. But what really matters is that you've got oil, we've got industry. Let's make a fucking deal. We don't need the Jews in the conversation. It's just the elegant solution. It's just the elegant solution. That's it. That's what we promote. So everybody's saying, oh, yeah, white nationalists are genocidal just like Zionists. Couldn't be further from the truth. Couldn't be further from the truth. The only entity in the world, the only people in the world that need to commit genocide for their own, so they can be in power, are Jews. Yep. Jews need to commit. Think about this. So if somebody objects to our viewpoint that Israel ought to be destroyed, if somebody objects to that, and
they
say
they're just gay and should be ignored.
But again, we have to address them because we need to convince people. Right. And I want people to listen and learn and can be convinced. So if you are like an American and you've bought into all the bullshit about World War II and Hitler, and you've bought into what I consider to be one of the most depraved ideologies ever, which is Christian Zionism. Christian Zionism is literally depraved. Jews are killing Christians. They are destroying Christian holy sites. You know, one time I remember somebody said to me, who was sort of a Christian sympathizer with Israel, or just a Christian anti-Islam, they hated Islam so much as a Christian, but somehow they couldn't muster the hatred that they had for Islam for Judaism. Where is this fervor? Judaism is what killed Jesus. And they said something like, well, would you want, as a Christian, I don't want the holy sites of my religion under the stewardship of Muslims. And I'm like, those holy sites were under the stewardship of Muslims for hundreds of years. And they were fine.
Maybe you should have holy sites that are actually in the fucking land that you hail
from. Fair enough. But like, that bridge has really already fucking been crossed. So we have to just deal with that. But the point is, if you're worried about the existence of these Christian holy sites, well, actually, the Muslims were significantly better stewards of them than the Jews. The Jews have an ideological component, which is gaining power in Israel. That is the Kahanist, the Ben-Gavir type, the Chabad guys. They're the ones that want to destroy it. They're the ones that spit on Christians. They're the ones that want to destroy every church and every place that Jesus walked. They want to destroy where Jesus was born. They want to destroy the Church of the Nativity. They spit on Christians doing the sign of the cross in Jerusalem. They bombed the Orthodox Church in Gaza. That's what these...
Hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
People do. The Muslims never did that. The Muslims have whatever you think of Islam. I'm not a Muslim, but I don't really care if somebody is. They have a religious rule that they must protect those sites. It's literally in their religious law. So who do you fucking trust? Additionally, with the Jews out of the conversation, I'm sure we could come to an international accommodation on the stewardship of those sites between Christians and Muslims, where Christians would be given sovereignty over the Christian sites, vice versa for the Muslim sites, and we could just live like normal human beings. The Jews are the ones that fucked this up. They can't be allowed to be part of this discussion. They literally have to be quarantined someplace.
I mean, just think of how the entire Middle East conversation would look if there were no Jews involved in it.
We would have peace, and we'd all be richer. Yeah. We'd be peaceful. We wouldn't have to worry about the specter of a potential nuclear exchange, which, although remote, is still possible in this conflict. And we wouldn't have to worry about this religious shit. We could simply have the Orthodox Church and the Muslim, whatever it is, whatever their thing is, they call it, like, could just work out. Hey, we got this area here. We'll just create an international zone, whatever. Who cares? People come visit. No big whoop. That'd be it. That would be it. Very easy. Very simple. When the Jews enter the conversation, we all just have to say no. You don't get to be a part. You have seen yourself out. The fact that you being part of this conversation means we need genocide and potential nuclear exchange. Everyone needs to sit back and think about that and scratch their head and say, who's the fucking real problem here? Let's get to the root of the problem. Let's get to the heart of the problem. And the fact that the only way, I mean, you are sitting there. This fucking war criminal, Benjamin Netanyahu, is sitting there with this drooling, doddering old fool, this senile old fool reading from a note card who has no idea where he is. And I mean, look at the spectacle of that. What an embarrassment. What an absolute fucking humiliation. How many years, thousands of years of Western man building up the greatest civilization on earth for this? Everybody should be outraged and insulted at this spectacle, at this just humiliating, just obscene spectacle. Like, these people just have to fucking go. That's it. They have to go. There is no third way. And if you're telling me that I don't want to get involved, it's the third way, then you know what? You're probably, I don't know what it is, and I don't care. And you've just seen yourself out. If you think the Jews are part of the conversation, then you're part of the problem. Okay? We have to build a consensus that they simply can't be part of the conversation. Because there's nothing constructive they have to offer. They're only destructive force. And they're not honest either. They're not honest brokers. Make a deal with a Jew. You trust that it's going to be... Why do you think the Arabs are so irredentist? Every deal they ever made was gone back on. Every deal they ever made was gone back on. They always say, oh, the Arabs, like, if they would just accept the existence. No, Israel doesn't accept their existence. Why should they reciprocate? Why should it's objectively the truth. Israel does not accept their existence. Right now, they're talking about annexing the northern half of the Gaza Strip, which is Gaza City, because they're going to limit their incursion into just Gaza City. And they've even themselves said, I actually thought I was wrong on Wednesday when I said that reduced meant like laid siege to and defeated. On some level it does, but they actually literally mean the size of the enclave of the Gaza Strip will be reduced in half. They are going the Jews are planning on literally annexing Gaza City.
Right.
And that's going to mean they're going to drive 1.1 million people out of their homes. They're going to drive them into southern Gaza. They're going to further concentrate those people into the southern part of the Gaza Strip. They're going to, now, I don't think they're going to be successful with that, but that's what they plan to do. And that actually will, at that point,
new facts on the ground, right?
New facts on the ground. They're saying we're going to create a new security situation. They and then they also said we're also not going to be responsible for Palestinian life in the Gaza Strip, meaning they're going to try and come to an agreement where, like, Egypt is going to take over the responsibility for providing resources, which they already do. Egypt already provides was providing water and electricity to much of the Gaza Strip. So they're going to want to create that. So they're going to basically say, we're going to take the northern half of Gaza for Israel, and the southern half is going to effectively be Egypt. That's what they want to have happen at the end of this war. That is what Jews want to have happen. That is going to take a lot of the United States military might, financial power, and international prestige in diplomatic relations, which already is at the zero point.
We don't have international prestige anymore.
I know. It's already been gone.
We just have brute force.
It's just brute force. But it's going to take, I mean, the very fact that at the Human Rights Council, which was the entire point of that, was like America and Jews, Zionism idea, create the Human Rights Council as an excuse to create a lot of gay ops around the world. Every single country stood up and turned their back on the American ambassador speaking at that thing like a couple days ago.
Yeah, so
every country in the world stood up and turned their back. As this woman, who's probably some fucking libtard that majored in international studies at Yale or some shit like that, is saying all this dumb shit. Human rights, democracy, every single one turned up and turned their back on her. And I wonder what that made her think. They also rejected international investigation into the hospital bombing. So all these countries went.
That's not necessary.
They said, that wouldn't be appropriate. It was that faggot Ned Price. He's like, that wouldn't be appropriate at this time. So why wouldn't it be appropriate?
Because you had discovered that we're lying through our teeth.
Because you did it. Because you did it and you're lying. So shut the fuck up.
Well, I saw the Iraq war investigators say that this is definitely a Hamas rocket.
Oh, yeah? Who was that?
I forget the guy's name, but he was also involved in
Hamas rocket lying. Has ever killed more people than that
yeah,
time they
it's
hit
amazing. It's amazing that like Hamas rockets, which barely kill like one person if they're lucky, like suddenly kill hundreds of people.
It's amazing the same people that sold you the Iraq war are also claiming that this was a Hamas rocket. That's what I find amazing. Yeah.
Oh, there are all the Bellingcats
people
of the
have
world.
Such short memories.
Bellingcat is such a... Did you see Elon Musk took the verification track again? Checkmark away from the New York Times
because of this
because they ran the initial headline that had to be debunked.
Yeah, so anyone thinks Elon Musk wasn't a fucking Zionist op, like, well, there you go. Always a fucking Zio op.
Why are you being so third worldist right now? I just it insults my intelligence to even be like in
to even respond to that. I mean, is insulting, but everyone needs to get it. Like, I'm sorry, and I understand that there are people out there who want these things to be true. They want Mabased Elon. They
you
want,
can't have based Elon.
You can't have based Elon because based Elon isn't real.
Elon is.
You can't
Elon,
have,
Elon is the Jew's servant. He didn't. He
now
didn't.
You understand no, why. Don't. Well, they. Well, again, you have to just let me say these things because, like, just being
just
you
let
know
me speak
always
under my breath behind you.
Okay, fine, fair enough. But this is why when they first did the Elon op on Twitter, we were before the ADL criticized Elon before anything happened. We were. Hard excluded before, like as soon as Elon took over.
Yeah.
And this is why the crazy Zio shit on Twitter that you're seeing right now is because that's what it was for. That's what it was for. That's what all of it was for. And for people who are like, well, we can score temporary wins against these people because of this. No, you can't. Because if you're scoring wins on the, you're trying to piggyback on what Jews are doing that's good for Jews. Well, Jews have no reason to give you anything, and they won't. And as soon as they feel like their power has been shored up, they're going to turn back on you. This is how they operate. If you help them, if you help them, like Charlie Kirk and the entire conservative establishment has now become a version of Antifa, going out and attacking people only on the grounds that they hurt Israel, not on the grounds that they hurt and attack whites. Those people will be defended on those grounds. But they're like, let's try and get them now on the grounds that they attack Israel. But see, my thing is like, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. If they're attacking Israel, I don't care if they're attacking Israel. It's not my problem at all. But if you go out and you help Jews shore up their power base by doing that, white people are going to feel the fucking brunt of it.
I've got some Chomsky shit in front of me.
What does he have to say?
Oh, he's just such a fucking piece of shit. This is old.
This is because he looks way worse than this. This must be a few years old.
I was reading the subtitles of what he was saying. Let's listen to this.
Part of the tragedy of the Palestinians is that they have essentially no international support for a good reason. They don't have wealth. They don't have power. So they don't have rights.
They don't have any wealth and power.
I mean, let him keep going.
That's the way the world works.
That's sadly true.
Well, that's not true. They're targeted by a genocidal entity for occupying the same land.
You're not going to get any kind of coalition defending them because they have nothing to offer.
You're not
going
to get a coalition to defend them because you can't form one against the United States, the international hegemon.
Well, that's also why...
That's hopefully what's eroding right now, but that's what the truth... Like, him making it about these, like, circumstances of how they exist, like, that's like saying blacks do crime because poverty. Like, no.
This is a very clever lie.
No, fuck that. Palestinians... Yeah. are targeted because they're in the land that the Jews want.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's got
right.
nothing to do with wealth,
exactly
power,
right.
prestige,
no,
or anything
he's
else.
Exactly
this is this
correct.
Fucking kite covering for it, and all these leftists, like the ones that you were watching, I like, want to defer to this because they don't know how to get out of it, and they know this doesn't make
any
sense.
And the reason is because this is what he is doing is he is fitting Palestine, which is actually the victims of a Jewish genocide because of the Jewish
it's
racial
specific.
Ideology.
It's not circumstantial. Yeah. It is specific.
He's absolutely right. Because of the Jewish genocidal ideology is why these people are targeted. And what Chomsky is trying to do is fit that into an overall leftist framework of poor people will get shit on. First of all, that's not even entirely true. We can examine many ways in which poor people are able to leverage at least section people that claim to be representatives of poor people, whatever. The point being that there's plenty of people who are characterized as not having wealth and not having power who actually have quite a bit of, at the very least, power. Okay? And they have power because of these kind of leftist moral arguments, which carry weight for everybody except white people and Palestinians. So,
let's let him keep going. I want to see more.
Yeah.
The world works, you know? Your rights correspond to your power and your wealth.
They more correspond to whether or not Jews like you or not. Mm-hmm. That's really what your rights like.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Jews don't like me. I have fewer rights than a lot of people.
Right. Right.
Even amongst whites in general. That's exactly
we're
true.
We're not like super, super rich, but we're not drowning in poverty either, right?
We should be super, super rich.
We've managed to claw a working and middle class existence out of the fabric of this country, working much harder than most people like us have to, only because we don't like Jews.
Right.
If we just went along with everything Jews said, all of us would just be living comfortable middle class existences without nearly the kind of worries and stress that we have day to day. So, in fact, your rights correspond. And in fact, our right to free speech is a bridge.
Yep.
Our right to banking, financial services, our right to basically effectively our right to engage in commerce, our right to have people pay us money. All of these rights that we have, our right to speak in the public forum, our right to exist in a non-precarious way, et cetera, whatever it might be. All of these rights are taken from us only on the basis Jews don't like us. Because there are other people in our country who don't do these things that we've done, that enjoy these things with no problem. So that's what it is. Effectively, your rights are based on submission to Jews.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the reality is.
Same inside the United States. Shouldn't be surprised to see it. If you're a poor black kid in Roxbury,
That's wrong. So-called poor black people have power in America. And this is how this fucking guy is uniting the idea. And he is neutering and disempowering leftists on this issue by linking it to these stupid leftist frameworks that are false in every other aspect. He's saying, yeah, let's link the Palestinian struggle to this same false leftist frame. And so you'll think about it that way, and then it confuses you because people don't understand it. Because, in fact, the Palestinians also don't entirely, like, right now, because of the outrages against the Palestinians, there is diplomatic world movement against Israel and Zionism.
The rights of a rich person living in the suburbs, right? Same in the international arena.
100% wrong.
Yep.
If there's a nigger, they have more rights than a white person. A nigger with less money
you can carjack
has
that.
More
you
rights in America today than a white person living in a suburb. A poor nigger has more rights, and they have more deference from the state. They are allowed to abuse that person. They're allowed to do violence against them. They are allowed to threaten them. They are allowed to burn and loot.
They're allowed
and
they to take allowed their to, spot at Yale.
Yes. So it is wrong. So Noam Chomsky is lying. He's lying.
The Palestinians, I mean, they make it, you know, statements of support, but nobody's going to do much for them, especially when the U.S. Threatens anyone who might try to do something.
That's actually the issue. Then isn't that the issue?
That's the issue. And why does the U.S. do that?
No, there are plenty of Arab and Muslim states that would love to do a lot for the Palestinians, but every time and so they are poor, but they're not. They're not as poor as some others. Like if you look at, you know, the West Bank and Gaza, they're not actually as poor as even some other Arab states. And this is something the Israelis say to counter these talking points. So, look, these people have hospitals. They've got infrastructure. They've got roads, cars. They've got social services. They've got jobs. You know, yeah, they're poor, but they're not as poor as, like, Afghanistan. Not even close. They're far wealthier than that. And this is something that the Jews say. So the issue isn't just they're poor. I hate this leftist narrative about Palestine. This is why I couldn't be a leftist anymore, because these things just aren't true.
This is just Zionism.
Yeah. The thing that's oppressing them is just the fact that they're in the way of the Jews.
Right.
And the reason they fight isn't just because they're poor and living in squalor. Because if people that were poor and living in squalor just fought...
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
But... you know, what about, like, there's plenty of people that are poor and living in squalor that just sit there in the mud and the muck and don't do shit because they're just a bunch of fucking agency-free, like, Africans just sit there in Africa. And maybe they'll fight, like, they'll kill each other. But that's very different than the ideological racial Palestinian struggle against the Zionist entity.
Why did Kuwaitis have so many rights and so much support in 1990 or 91? Remember? Did they have a lot of wealth and privilege?
Kuwaitis? Well,
some of them
actually,
may.
You could say that they
some
did.
Some of them
yes.
do, but I mean, like they were invaded by a neighbor state. Like for some reason, the United States came in out in full support against
these
Kuwaitis.
You know my theory.
People
on that
no one ever heard of.
You know my theory on that that whole war.
Oh, I don't know. Jews.
Obviously it's Jews. But what it was, you know what it was. Here's what it was: is that as a counter to Iran with their revolution in Iran, the United States used Saddam Hussein as a proxy. And in doing that, they actually gave Saddam Hussein the actual largest military in the Middle East. He actually had like thousands of tanks, hundreds of fighter jets. Like he had a huge amount of military gear. Now, they didn't necessarily have the same competency as like a Western army with that same gear. But nonetheless, all of that military gear sitting in Iraq, and the whole time Saddam Hussein was still technically a belligerent with Israel, was still technically funding the PLO and all this other shit they were saying. So they basically, and it's true, they told him he could, in fact, settle the score with Kuwait, who was stealing oil from Iraq. And so when he did go in to settle that score, he didn't think that there would be this coalition that came forward, and the coalition came forward. The U.S. built up this whole massive coalition, and the whole purpose of that was just to destroy Saddam's army. It was just all that military gear that they had given him to fight Iran. Now we just have to destroy it.
Cool.
That's the whole reason for that. That was the reason for that war. And then eventually they wanted to take him out because he still remained sitting on a massive amount of oil, remained a belligerent against Israel. As it turned out, that was a stupid idea because Iraq is now a huge fucking problem, and the taking out of Saddam Hussein actually gave the leg up to the Iranians and gave them a lot more power in the region. So, yeah.
What's called the national interest turns out to be the interest of dominant domestic forces in U.S. society.
Jews.
So the national interest means the interests of the very rich, major corporations,
the ones who set government policy.
He's saying, you're like, saying different categories of Jews.
But there are plenty of actually people that are rich and have interest in like giant corporations whose interests are not met by these wars. Oil companies, the typical scapegoat. Not that I'm necessarily a huge fan, but they're not actually served. They would be richer. They would be wealthier without all of these wars. And we would have more and cheaper gas without all of these wars.
So that's the national interest. They're not the population. The population is basically irrelevant. The population often strongly opposes government policy, and they're simply disregarded.
That's true, but, you know.
Not during the Third Reich.
Yeah. Right. That was the
thing. Can you name one state where that wasn't the case? Oh, what happened to her?
Right. I mean, that observation is true, but it's very facile. Like
people say there should be much higher taxes on the wealthy.
Oh, shut up.
What happened?
Shut up, Noam.
Taxes on the wealthy.
So now he's a Democrat. See, this guy is fucking full of shit.
He definitely is. Well, that's why you can.
It's the same on issue after issue. We do not live in a society in which the public determines policy.
That's true, but again, facile observation.
Jews determine policy.
It's around, you know, but they're basically disregarded unless they force themselves to into the system by serious activism.
This fucking stupid old prick. I wonder when that was from.
It could have been from. I'm assuming that's probably from the early 2000s. That's because he doesn't look. He looks way worse than that these days.
Yeah, I mean that sounds like bitching about George W. Bush.
But the fundamental lie that the Palestinians are having a problem because they're poor. Explain to me, Noam, what is the interest of all of these groups other than just Jews? Jews and you can talk about the Zionist lobby. What's the interest of the Zionist lobby? The interest of the Zionist lobby is a racial Jewish interest. So Israel is not motivated by money, is not motivated by corporate profits. They are motivated by a racial Jewish and in some level a religious eschatological, is a big fancy word for you. Oof. A religious eschatological motivation to take this land. And in fact, the secular socialist kikes that initially took over that land are increasingly losing ground to the religious nutbags like Itamar Ben-Gvir, and that's why I think they're increasingly crossing red lines, like directly bombing people in a parking lot outside of a hospital and bombing a fucking ancient church. That's why they're doing that. That kind of shit is the kind of shit these lunatic fucking weirdo Jews want to do. That kind of shit. Actually, just like
well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, and along the timeline, they're going to drive out all the Palestinians, genocide them. That'll be successful, and then where do they go from there? They're going to have to keep expanding, so there'll be increasing tension with the other Arab states around them. Like, you should deal with them sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
obviously.
they need to be stopped now, because the thing is that right now this is why I'm so actually happy that people always, you know. In fact, multipolarity is starting to emerge. And this is why America is so worried about Russia and China. And in fact, we've said this, and I don't think this analysis has been said anywhere else. When did Russia decide to back the Syrian regime against ISIS? 2013. When did America sponsor a coup, anti-Russian coup in Ukraine? 2014. These things are related. Victoria Nuland, Stryker in his article, had a link to a paper by Victoria Nuland in which she said this. She said that the coup in Ukraine and a civil war in Ukraine helps us to counter Russia and prevent them from backing pro-Iranian forces in the region. This is the strategic region, among others, but this is a major one.
Listen,
for the campaign against Russia.
You can't just like accept a paper that Stryker linked as evidence to something. Stryker, he's
not in
even,
a wheelchair.
He's
right?
Not even white. He's Italian. But right. If you say what Italians
he's
are
Puerto
white,
Rican.
But if you say Italians are white, I'm really mad at you though.
Well, the point being that like,
but I'm just saying, it's like, but it's like the absurdity of that is like he linked to Victoria Nuland.
Who actually is somebody who actually has power?
Who
in
actually
system?
Said these things? But this yeah. is like this is somehow
someone no. actually calling shots right now.
This
she
is just what happens
secretary.
When you're in an echo chamber. You can cite like other people's work that proves your point.
Yeah, no. Look again. Victoria Nuland isn't some incidental figure. This is a woman,
no,
Jewish,
someone.
Who is the Assistant Secretary of State, who is in charge of Ukraine policy, and who herself said her motivation for the Ukraine policy is a strategic counter to Russia to keep them busy so they cannot sponsor and help more pro-Iranian forces in the Middle East. This is why it happens. This is why Joe Brandon, Dark Joe Brandon, announces last night, he goes out and he makes an announcement, we are spending $100 billion. $60 billion is to go to Ukraine, $14 to Israel, another $14 he's saying to border security. I don't know what that means, and like another $10 to like some humanitarian programs.
I feel bad for Austin Powers. It's just like inflation has just taken away the strength of their
movement. Oh, that whole like that much money doesn't exist yet?
They should go back and like do like special editions, like have George Lucas like dub in like new dollar amounts. Try to make that more relevant.
The trouble in Ukraine $100
billion dollars. I didn't believe that was his answer.
Yeah.
And they're like,
I thought it was like $1 billion.
And no,
like,
first one was $1 million. They all laughed.
Yeah.
And then he says $100 billion.
It was inflation.
He's like, $100 billion.
And they're like, that much money doesn't exist. Yeah, it was Tim Robbins as JFK in that situation, if you recall.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Remember? He was the one playing the president.
I haven't seen those in a long time. Yeah.
But, what was I saying? I was saying something else. Yeah. Yeah. Everything I was saying before. That was right. But yeah, so the $100 billion, now the $60 billion to Ukraine, I was a little bit surprised by that because I thought more of it would be going. But remember, it's not just going to military. They need money to keep their state functional. Because everybody was saying, okay, money to Ukraine is done, money to Ukraine is done. I thought so maybe too, or I didn't think they were going to cut it off immediately. But I think, you know, this maybe will be like the last big infusion of cash. I don't know. If things get too hot in Israel, Ukraine will be abandoned because they're simply not going to be able to do it. Because remember, we're not just funding their military. We're funding their entire state. There is no economy in Ukraine. If the American checks don't keep coming, all of those tens of thousands of government employees, people keeping the Ukrainian state apparatus functioning, don't get a check, and they just stop working. And then the state crumbles, and Russia just walks over the rest of the country. The entire Ukrainian DMV
is like, I'm on break.
Yeah, yeah. Every fat Negress with long nails.
And they've imported some at this point, right?
Yeah. Oh, they've got them there, believe me. That's going to be Russia's biggest problem. They're going to take over Ukraine and be, where all these niggers come from?
America.
Yeah. But the other funny thing is, think about what a strategic failure this was on the part of America. They did this thing, like, let's start this civil war as a counterbalance to Russia so they don't help these pro-Iranian elements in the region, meaning the Middle East region. And what do? They've actually increased Russia's territory. They've increased Russia's military output. Russia's army is almost 1 million man strong. They probably have pretty close, if not already there, have the strongest land army on the fucking planet. And they have also managed to evade U.S. sanctions, which have actually hurt Europe far more than they have hurt Russia, because Russia has the option of a lot of other big players for which to export their resources and which to make trade deals. Russia has access to the huge market inside of China. They've got access to other huge markets. They're making themselves and giving themselves access to both the natural resources and the huge markets in the Arab world. America is essentially, on behalf of Jews, the West is letting ourselves be cut off from good relationships with the countries that control all the oil and natural gas, and the country that controls most of the manufacturing in the world. We have cut ourselves off from them on purpose as a result of these kikes living on this tiny, pointless, literally, pointless. What is the point of Israel? It doesn't have any point.
Well, it's where if you're a Jewish child molester, you can flee there.
Yeah, you can go there and not have to be subjected to actual civilized laws.
You can keep making movies after Gabe Hoffman cancels.
Right, and so, yeah, this is why I do root for the Arabs and the Muslims when they fight Israel. Yes, I'm on their side. I want them to win. I want them to win.
It's pretty simple.
I want them to win. And I want them to win because if Israel is destroyed, the world will be a better place. This is why I want them to win. And if the war comes, it's going to come. It's going to come. These kikes have done enough.
Yeah, I'm watching a stream of beaners come across the border on a Twitter video right now.
There you go.
It's like
those people should be marching into Israel.
The reason why aren't there any? Yeah.
Well, there actually is a bit of an attempt to do a flood of the borders. Like, they're trying to have, like, there's a lot of people from Iraq and other countries, like, streaming into Jordan right now. And they want to do, like, a flood across the border into the West Bank of Arabs. And, like, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. Is the Jordanian government going to, like, slaughter its own people to stop that from happening so they can keep getting checks from America?
Probably.
So,
that's what America would do.
This is the other thing. It's like, you know, I understand why there might be white guys feeling like kind of powerless and impotent in the face of all this that are kind of screaming like Allahu Akbar and like go Arabs. And the reason I understand that is
because, screaming go Arabs.
Yeah. I understand that. And I don't have any problem with it. The thing is, yes, I understand that this war will lead to massive human loss of life and suffering and catastrophe. But I think at some point, from the perspective of the Arabs who have been suffering under this boot for so long, they're like, we are dying anyway. At some point, we have to just accept that and just go. Because otherwise, this will not stop. What was the saying? Better a horrible end than horror without end? You know? And I hope this isn't even a horrible end. I hope it's a good end. We'll see what happens. And you know, I'm not actually expecting that maybe total World War III will kick off. But I do expect that if Israel invades the Gaza Strip, they are not going to only be fighting the Gaza Strip. And I think that they understand this at this point. And that is why America is there. And at this point, you know, and there's all kinds of
questions. The question is, how bad does it get for Israel in that fight before, like,
before nukes start flying?
Well, yeah. Before there's an escalation on our part. Like what are those carriers going to do?
I believe the threat there is that we are going to, well, first of all, on the ground, there are going to be U.S. special forces that are going to be leading the IDF because the IDF is essentially an incompetent force. Okay. They're not a good land army. They suck. Israel relies on airstrikes, and they're not even precision. The idea that Israel relies on precision airstrikes is a lie. They just bomb indiscriminately just to terrorize civilians because they don't have any other way to fight. The IDF, maybe you could say in 1973 it was a good land army. It's not anymore. The soldiers are mostly...
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please do so. We'll both be happier for it.
Conscripts, they're soft, they're scared, they wear diapers, they're not good. It's already having a big problem. They didn't have enough adult diapers. They had to get an import of them more to equip more of their guys with adult diapers before they went into Gaza.
Oh my God.
They're not a good army. They're fighters.
Do they have like nannies, the IDF nannies that come around?
I don't know. They have wet nurses that go in with them? I don't know. But, you know, that's why they need competent special forces like America to go in and actually plan and lead the operation. You know, there's been memos coming out that are saying like people have been leaking shit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good graphic. People have been leaking shit for a while saying that, you know, America is essentially, like, the Pentagon is basically planning this operation. I'm like, well, you know, frankly, on some level, that gives me some hope because the Pentagon also planned, like, the Ukraine operation. That hasn't exactly been a smashing success. So, you know, look, yeah, you know, again, the world takes all kinds of crazy twists and turns. And if this is the beginning of the fall of this evil Jewish Zog Empire, so be it.
It needs to be.
So be it. So fucking be it. And though, you know what? We're not powerless either, though. I don't want this idea we're just sitting here doing nothing watching. No, what we have to do is we have to motivate our people to refuse to fight in this war. Do not provide them voluntarily with the human material that they need. Because they're going to want a bunch of corn-fed white boys from the middle of America to go out and die for Jews. And I say no. Stay home and watch as these Arabs overrun Israel and laugh. That's what white people should be doing. Fuck their army. Do not sign up for their army. And if you're in it now, get out of it. Any way you can. If you feel like you're about to be deployed, just go tell them you're a Nazi. I'm a white supremacist. I can't. I hate Jews. I might. If you put me in the Middle East, I'm liable to shoot a Jew.
Oh God! Don't say that.
Don't say that.
You're gonna get in trouble.
You'll probably get prosecuted. But
yeah, don't do that.
Find a way to get out.
Don't say you're a Nazi. Don't tell them you're a Nazi.
Well, what's worse, a dishonorable discharge or actually having to go fight?
I'm sure you can get out without a dishonorable.
You probably could. Definitely don't sign up for a second. They'll beg you. They'll beg you. They will absolutely beg you. They will offer you tons of money to try for you to re-enlist. There's already been guys I know who are not in, who have been getting calls, who got out after they did their 6 years. I got out. They are getting calls. They are getting emails. They are being offered large sums of money, and they're still like, no, not interested. Not interested.
Don't do it. Stotch.
Do not give them your body, because it could mean, you know, if they offer you $100,000 enlistment bonus, well, is your life worth that? I don't think it is. And certainly not. Maybe it would be for some cause, but not this one. You don't want to fight to make your own country worse off. You don't want to fight to make your own country more subject to Jewish power. You don't want to fight to bail these kikes out of the mess they've gotten themselves in. That's not our job. No, America needs to divorce itself completely from Zionism and Jews, which have actually made our country into a retarded joke. America used to be a serious place. It used to be a place with serious people that the world took seriously. It's not. It's not. And it's because of Jews. It's because this country's taken over by Jews. The world looks at us as a bunch of moronic retards and a joke. We're like a drooling fucking idiot for president who sits there as the lapdog of a fucking war criminal in Israel.
His name is Genocide Joe now.
And that's because Genocide of Jews. Joe. That's because of Jews. Anyway.
Genocide Joe.
Anyway, we've got a lot of videos.
You don't like Genocide Joe?
Genocide Joe. Shabbos Joe, that's what I call him.
That's better. That makes more sense. Which one do you want to do?
Let's do the Indian lady, because the Russian one is long, and we're almost don't know up which against one is the which. Hour. That's that one.
This one, the Twitter
This
one?
Is just really dumb, but it's funny. It shows you how unhinged Jews are right now.
Sar.
It's literally like sorry. This is kind of funny, though. Okay. So I got this kike.
What is this? Axis Mutual Fund. What is this? Biden backs Israel in bold visit.
And I can see the colors that you are wearing, this evening. And that's why I am purposely wearing blue and white.
She's wearing Palestine's flag colors in her.
Because with all due respect to the green, the red, and the black that you have purposely put on this evening, blue and white will always prevail.
Yikes.
Let's not divide colors.
She should step on the basis of religion. And then change it to a Hugo Boss uniform.
Yeah, right.
On the basis of religion, it sometimes happens in my country as well. And also to tell you, Frederick, the garment I'm wearing is a sari, and it's my grandmother's. If she was alive, she would have been about 105 years old today. She didn't know what the Israel-Hamas conflict was, and this sari in no way signifies any support for any side. What is happening, what has happened in Gaza, the bombing of the hospital, 5 people dead, is simply criminal. What I'm wearing right now is simply my grandmother's sari. It signifies nothing else.
Beautiful.
Save it for a different day.
Yeah. This Jew is literally telling this Indian lady to like change her clothes.
No, Frederick, I will not let you choose what I wear, and I will not let you choose what I say. I will say what I have to say, and I will speak the truth the way I see it.
Whatever.
Truth, of course, has many versions.
Oh, shut up.
There is one version coming from Israel, and there's another version coming from Gaza.
Yeah, there are truths and there are lies. Stop it. There are truths and there are lies. The lies are coming from Israel.
No, I mean, I don't really care about anything else that woman said. I just think it's hilarious that this kike is so fucking keyed up. He's so keyed up. He's like, change your clothes. Barros, I actually find like red and black and green, not so much the green maybe, but red and black definitely are much better colors than blue and white. I find blue and white to not be a particularly attractive combination of colors. Not really a big fan of that. Red and black, yes. Go. Good colors. We deliberately chose when we did the NJP, and we were thinking of the design around the NJP stuff, we deliberately chose like not to have blue be any part of it.
Yeah, two terrible countries.
Yeah.
Israel and America have blue.
Well, blue is part of a lot of national colors, and that's fine, but it's not something we needed to have in our colors for our thing. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Now, one more thing before we go to the next hour. We had this protest in D.C. Did you guys see this? The protests in Washington. Did you see this?
What, the Jews for power? Or the, yeah. Was it peace now or something like that?
Yeah, and that was.
They're calling
Jewish
for a ceasefire. Yeah, I talked about that on my show with Borzo yesterday. It's like, yeah. this is just Jewish.
Yeah, it's Jews. It was
Jews. No one benefits from a ceasefire but Israel.
Right. It was Jews, peace now, Jews or whatever. The Jewish Zionist.
Yeah.
Just so you understand, all those Jews are Zionists.
Right.
Like, if you were to say to them, well, Israel should actually be destroyed, right? They would be like, oh, God, no, no. See, these are Jews that are effectively, I would say they're sort of like the left end of the optics kike, for lack of a better way of describing it. And they're doing a couple things. One, they are trying to get in the way of the anti-Israel movement, which is blowing up around the world right now. And on the left right now, even in the West, the Western left is actually keeping their anti-Zionist stance, even though much of their anti-Zionist stance is based on flawed premises, like the kind of thing that Noam Chomsky is saying right here, and other premises like that, right? But Jews are like, one, we can't afford for Jews and support for Zionism, or just support for Jews generally, or allyship, if you will, whatever, for Jews themselves to be located on one side of the spectrum, particularly not the right side of the spectrum. They're like, we can't have our only allies be like retarded right-wingers in America, because Jews will lose everything if that's the case. If the retard right in America are their only political allies, they legitimately will lose everything. So they need the ideological left to still not see Jews themselves as the enemy. Now, there's retarded kikes who actually want that, but that's really dumb. The ideological left, they need to keep them on board with, like, no, it's not Jews. Jews and Zionism, they're a separate thing, blah, 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 blah. Additionally, what they're calling for, which is a ceasefire, they see is actually to a military strategic advantage of Israel. So they probably have some stupid solution, which is actually would be, in the long run, potentially better for Israel, which is if they cease fire, they come to some kind of a diplomatic agreement and solution with Hamas to release the hostages in exchange for stopping the bombing and letting humanitarian aid in, and some kind of security issue brokered by a third party or something like that. Something like this. Like, what they're aiming for is, like, stop bombing Gaza, because that's making everybody hate us.
Yep.
Don't invade Gaza, because that's going to open Israel up to potentially a three-front war. And have the United States come in and enforce, like, with peacekeepers, or an international force of peacekeepers, like UN troops with the United States and Western Europe and such, in Gaza, actually, so Israeli troops no longer have to enforce the security zone around Gaza, and also have the international community, or the UN, probably through Egypt or something like that, them are the ones that are going to be responsible for giving Gaza its water and its power. That's what those Jews want. So effectively, that's a de-escalation. Israel's no longer responsible for Gaza, nor are they responsible for the security zone between Gaza and Israel. Israel doesn't have to worry about that anymore. And the United States and others will enforce that security barrier, and also give the Gazans all their resources and such. So it's just an albatross off of Israel's neck, and Israel won't be invaded from all directions. That's what those people want. Okay, and now, from the perspective of peace right now, this would be the best option. But it's not actually, one, it's not going to happen, because the Jews are like, no, we can't allow these mass numbers of Palestinians in this small area, which we don't have any good way to take control of. We can't allow them to keep existing there. That's their perception right now. That's the perception in Israel right now. And that's largely the perception of the Jewish community in the United States. And that's why these people aren't going to get what they want. But that's what they're advocating for. And they're also trying to make themselves not look like total pariahs to the overall international left. So that's what that protest is about, in case anybody got confused. They're actually calling for more American on-the-ground intervention between Israel and their enemies, which is just like, no. No. Absolutely fucking not. Absolutely not.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
So, yeah. And inevitably, this would probably, they're hoping, result in some kind of conflict between directly between America and Hamas. If Hamas, you know, if Israel breaks their terms, doesn't cease fire, and Hamas fires back, then like, okay, they broke the terms. Because remember, with Jews, it's like, you know, it's not just that the encounter starts when you react. It's that what they do just never happened at all. Like nothing that Jews do ever actually happened. They're only ever the victims. So, yeah. Anyway, I think we can probably take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
I can hit the button anytime I want.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it, Bunny? No!